This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. It's that time of year when cooking goes outside. We're talking about grilling today. Joining me are director of the cooking school at Jungle Jim's International Market, Lee Barnhart Oakes, chef instructor at the Midwest Culinary Institute at Cincinnati State, Jeff Sheldon, and owner of Counter Moon Editorial and author of The Grill of Victory, Bill Broha. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And we'd like to hear what your favorite foods to grill are. We've got a few in already. If you want to email those to us, you can do that as well or call and tell us about them. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have you all here. So we're getting ready for the big grilling time. We've already been grilling. Some people grill all winter long, I know. Let's talk about the different ways to grill, the different types to grill of grills. There are gas grills, and there are propane grills, and there are charcoal grills. What's your favorite? Lee, let's start with you.
My favorite that I use at home is a gas grill that I have hooked up to natural gas, so I don't have to fill the propane tank. It's always hot, runs a little hotter on natural gas, and it's always ready.
How hard is that to do?
If you hire somebody to do it, it's not hard at all. You need a plumber. They just need to run some black pipe and attach it to your gas, and you're ready to go.
And that's just hooked up all the time?
Yes.
Do you turn it off, or you just leave it running?
You can turn it off if you want to.
So you don't have to. Some people worry that something might happen.
Right.
And why do you prefer gas?
Just because I'm lazy and it's always ready to go. I have a charcoal grill also, but I usually go to the gas.
Bill, what about you?
I'm a charcoal guy.
Charcoal? Why do you like charcoal?
I like it because it's actually quite the opposite of what you're saying. I'm more energetic in doing the grilling. I want to be more hands-on. And I like the flavors, the heat control, especially if you use lump charcoal, which is different from the charcoal briquettes that you normally get.
What is lump charcoal?
It is basically burned wood. And sometimes from forest fires and things like that.
Where do you get it?
You can Jungle Jim's for one.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's available locally, fairly everywhere.
The general grocery chains will carry it as well in season.
Jeff?
I use a propane gas grill, and
We didn't plan this, but that's perfect. Each of you has a favorite.
Well, and to be honest with you, I'd love to use charcoal, but time wise, as Lee said, the gas is there, light it, cook, done. I do have a small charcoal grill as well that I haven't lit in 2 years. So
when you're preparing all this, does the food taste differently, do you think, on each type of the grills?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just a matter of flavor? What's different about it?
It also depends on what kind of control you exercise during the cooking process. The selection of in the case of charcoal, the selection of the other words, the lump charcoal, charcoal briquettes, that's for heat and controlling heat. But then I do a lot of smoking and use basically like hickory wood and supplement it with other sorts of woods too. So there is a general taste that you bring to the food through the smoking process.
Do you ever smoke in the gas or in the propane?
No.
So that's strictly a charcoal?
I sometimes smoke in gas, and I also have a freestanding smoker that I use.
And what do you put in a smoker? Is that gas or is that a fire?
Mine's an electric smoker.
I didn't know that. So you learn something new every day. And so you can buy those, and what makes the smoke?
It's you put in chunks of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Mine uses a very small amount. I use about 2 ounces of wood to smoke just about anything.
And what kind of wood?
I go with apple, pecan, hickory.
And mm-hmm. What kind of flavor? Does that give the flavor of the fruit or the nut, or is it just that the wood has a distinctive taste?
They have all different flavors, the different woods do. I sometimes find that mesquite and things like that, for my taste, are a little bit too harsh.
Yeah, and you want that kind of control. The fruit woods will bring a fruity taste to it, a little sweeter. And if you complement that with a slightly sweeter sauce on ribs, on pork shoulder, then it's a complementary group, shall we say.
And with propane, do you ever put a piece of wood in there at all to get the flavor?
I haven't actually put wood on. What I have done is take a bunch of dried herbs out of the garden that have been sitting around for a while, quite frankly, soak them in water, and just pop those in on the burners. They go very quickly, but it does add some smoke.
So is it just, you know, just
it incinerates fairly quickly, mm-hmm. depending on how high the grill is. And, you know, I know with the gas grill versus charcoal or any of the woods, you're going to get more flavor out of the wood, out of the charcoal. It's really a convenience thing more than anything else using the propane.
Tell me a little bit about the types of herbs that you'd put together to give something a good flavor.
Well, usually I've used sage because I had a big sage plant, thyme because I had a big thyme plant. So it's kind of whatever is around and tends to get – sage gets large and woody, so it lasts a little bit longer in a smoke – in my grill than, you know, say if you threw basil or something along those lines, and it really isn't going to work very well.
So you want something that's a little mm-hmm. more sturdy.
Yeah.
Rosemary, would that work? Is that
if you have a big rosemary bush, yeah.
So a variety of things you can do once you get that grill going. Let's talk about temperature next and how hot you want that grill to be and how you know if it's hot enough. Now, if you have a big grill with a thermometer on top, obviously that makes it easy. But what are the skills that you suggest people use or the techniques they use to figure out if their grill's hot enough?
From my standpoint, I like to have a little oven temperature gauge that sits very close to the meat because I cook on an offset smoker. It's about 5 feet long and about 2 feet high, the barrel that you cook in. And, of course, in something like that, you're going to have hot spots and cold spots. You got to get to know your grill. But I like to have the temperature gauge right next to the meat so that you can tell what that meat is experiencing.
Lee, what about you?
I've done similar. My grill has a thermometer built into the lid, which isn't always the same as the temperature near the meat. So initially, I would put a thermometer on the inside as well to see how close the temperatures were so that it's easier to control.
And Jeff, do you use the same thing?
There's a thermometer on my grill. Quite frankly, I kind of look at the heat as low, medium, or high, and it kind of depends on what I'm cooking. If I'm going to put a steak on, I like a high temperature on it. And I have heard this test. I've seen someone do this on TV. If you take a piece of white bread, put it on the grill, if it toasts in 20 seconds, that's a hot temperature. That's good for a steak.
And you got some bread to throw out for the birds when you're done with that. Well, Lee, you were talking about putting the gauge in there as well. What different temperatures do you use to cook varying foods?
Again, it's going to depend on the food, what you're cooking. And you can also control your heat by cooking directly over the heat or indirectly where your fire is built on either side of what you're cooking. For a steak, I too cook, of course, on as hot as I can.
Why is that important? You both have said that, and I bet you'd agree too. Bill, why is a hot grill important for a steak?
Well, I like a charred exterior and a fairly rare inside, so it's fairly common sense as far as that's how you're going to get that. I like it rare, but I like the steak hot. And said, I like char.
Good sear, too. I mean, it helps to keep that meat moist.
When would you use a medium temperature? What would you cook at a sort of a medium temperature?
Sausages, chicken in some cases, and sometimes I'll fluctuate the temperature beginning end or whatever the case might be.
You start out hot or start out cool?
I start at medium, mm-hmm. Or I'll heat the grill up, and as soon as I put the food on, I turn it down. You're, again, using propane control, so it's just a high or low.
And what does that do to the food?
Well, it allows me to leave it. So I can proceed to do other things without it catching on fire or something along those. If I put a rack of ribs on, and understand, I'm not smoking the ribs. I'm just trying to get a little bit of char on them, a little bit of fire on the flavor. I'll put that on low. I can walk away. It's going to produce some smoke, but it's not going to catch them on fire for the most part.
Any other reason do you use a low grill?
From my standpoint, as one who does a lot of smoking, there is a philosophy out there that in order to get the meat to accept the smoke more readily, to bring the temperature up slowly until you've hit the grill temperature that you want. And what that does, according to the people who use this particular philosophy, is it keeps the pores in the meat more open. And some of the folks that I know liken it to going into a hot shower where suddenly you're tensing up and it's too hot rather than bringing up the temperature of the meat slowly so that the meat does accept the smoke better.
So everybody, I think, at one time or another has had a burger from a grill. If you eat meat at all, you may have had a burger. What's the best way to cook a burger?
Well, I use high heat on a burger as well. I don't do anything special. Season it, put it on. I've heard other philosophies that medium heat is better or whatever the case might be. It's going to depend on the size of the burger and how you want the burger done.
What do you put in the burger? What do you make it from? Do you use always ground beef? Do you use ground turkey? What do you like your burgers?
I like to make mine out of beef tenderloin trim. When you buy a beef tenderloin and they trim it for you, you can ask the butcher to grind it up, and that makes the best burger for me.
And what do you put in it when you mix it together? Do you add seasonings? Or
I just put the seasonings on the outside.
So no egg or breadcrumbs?
No.
The meat?
Just the meat, and I usually make it about a 6-ounce burger and form it loosely into a patty, and then you take your thumb and put a big indentation in the middle of it so that it doesn't puff up while it grills.
I have heard that a lot, and you get those little sort of fat spots in the hamburger otherwise, so put your thumbprint in there. Now, I have a question for you. I make hamburgers all the time, and my husband often complains that he gets them out on the grill and then they fall apart. And I put egg in and breadcrumbs, and I'm thinking I'm putting everything in there to hold it together. What am I doing wrong?
Maybe it's the egg and the breadcrumbs.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, I just use meat and season the outside.
How hard do you press the meat together?
Gently.
Really?
Because if you press it too hard, it tends to be more tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if his big concern is it falling apart, buy a pre-made patty. It will be tougher when you go to eat it, but it will stay together. But I agree with Lee. It's minimal forming on the burger. One thing I might mention, too, that I like occasionally, a lamb burger. If you buy ground lamb, makes a fabulous burger.
And how do you season that?
Actually, I like to use some curry powder on it. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different things you can do with it, but I like lamb and it works great on the grill.
What about you, Bill?
I'm somewhere in the middle. I like to jolly up my hamburger, generally with a little barbecue sauce mixed in when forming the patties, a chopped onion. Frankly, there's very little in the world that an onion won't improve.
I'll second that.
When you're cooking the burger, how many times should you be turning it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I grew up being told that you never turn meat more than one time. This was passed down from grandmother to my mother to me. I think studies have shown that, in fact, actually, the more you turn meat, the more even the cooking is. Scientific studies have been done. I haven't done them myself. I've just read about them. Personally, I just don't make a big deal about it. I turn it once. If I feel like I need to turn it again, I will. But I don't think there's any hard, fast rule. I've never really noticed any difference.
Either of you?
Because a burger cooks quickly, so you don't really need to turn it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you see that fat is pooling on top, I'll turn it just because people might prefer it that way. And then a lot of times I'll turn it right at the very end just to put the cheese on.
Now, a lot of people take the spatula and as they're cooking it, smash down and let all that grease come out. Good or bad?
Bad.
Bad.
I just had to reprimand a student yesterday for doing that. So bad.
What happens? You're just losing the moisture out of the meat then? Mm-hmm. Why do you think people do that?
They think they are hastening the cooking process, I think, more than anything else. If you take a nice steak, well, let's just say a filet mignon, which doesn't have a lot of fat, and keep pressing it, it'll taste more like bad liver at the end than it will like filet mignon. And I love liver. So when I said, I mean bad liver, dry, metallic tasting.
Mark's calling from Blue Ash with a question. Hi, Mark. What's your question?
Hi, foodies. I've been seeing some of these gas infrared grills at the hardware stores and just wondered what they're about.
Anybody know the infrared grills?
I have to plead ignorance.
I do have an infrared burner on mine that is used for searing. It gets very, very hot, and it's specifically for searing the outside of a steak or something like that, and then I move it to the inside of the grill to cook.
So you just get it brown on the outside?
Yes.
And then
mine also has an infrared for a rotisserie, but I have to be honest, I don't use that.
Hope that helps a little, Mark.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Our number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We are talking today about grilling on Cincinnati Edition, and we are going to continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking this afternoon about grilling, what to cook and how to cook it on your grill. We'd like to hear your favorites, too. Be thinking about those. Joining me, director of the cooking school at Jungle Jim's International Market, Lee Barnhart Oakes, chef instructor at the Midwest Culinary Institute at Cincinnati State, Jeff Sheldon, and owner of Countermoon Editorial and author of The Grill of Victory, Bill Broha. You can call us with your questions and your favorite food to grill at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. So we've talked an awful lot about the grills and how to choose what you're cooking on and a little bit about burgers, which are one of the famous foods. Hot dogs, is there really anything to say about those? Are you just really warming up the meat?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all that is for that.
Sausage is another topic, though, if you want to go beyond
that. Yeah, I do. Tell me about sausage.
Well, I think, in my mind, grilling sausage is a great way of preparing it, but it's great for a crowd of people in the summer, too. It's one of my go-to if I have more than two people. And in Cincinnati, there's so many places to get great sausage, be it fresh or cured or smoked or whatever. So do the sausage for the adults. Do the hot dogs for the kids.
Is there, you know, you hear so much about brats and soaking them in beer and all of that. Do you do anything special to them or do you just cook them out of the package?
No.
Soak them in beer.
You soak them in beer?
I'm originally from Wisconsin. And
you soak everything in beer. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. You're right. Sausage is a whole different matter. And sausage on a smoker, yeah, bratwurst and other sorts of sausages are wonderful.
Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Joe's calling from Hamilton. Hi, Joe. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for the gentleman who prefers the charcoal. I, too, prefer charcoal, but it's not like I'm any good at it. And we were talking a few minutes ago about temperature. How do you go about raising and lowering the temperature? I feel like whenever I do it, it starts low, it gets hot, it ends low. It's one arch in terms of the temperature over time. How do you get it to raise and lower itself? Anyway, I'll listen up here. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
The basic technique is air control. And the vents on my particular units, it feeds in the air from one side through the firebox, which is offset from the main cooking area. And it's got a little chimney on it, and you can, with the vents, control how much air is the fire accesses. And that's how I control temperature.
All right. Thanks so much. Rick called in and said, changing propane grill to natural gas. He said there are parts of the grill that need to be changed before you hook up the natural gas. So
that is true.
We should mention that as well. Don't do it without getting professional advice, even if you're
going
to do it.
It's really easy. Any hardware store can sell this. Some grills are now coming with both. It's different couplings, but it's not hard and it's not expensive.
Good. Michelle's calling from Cincinnati. Hi, Michelle. What's your question?
Hi. So I was just going back to grilling hamburgers, and if you guys had recommendations for specific like percentages of fat versus lean meat, and what would be your recommendation to make the best burger?
How much fat?
I generally prefer what they refer to as 80-20, 80% lean, okay, to 20% fat.
Ground chuck, maybe, or ground
generally
beef?
It'll say even some ground round. And in my mind, if it gets 70-30, 30% fat, you got a fire on the grill. I found in some cases, if it's too lean, it gets a sandy texture to it.
And they're just dry if it's too lean.
Okay, so you do want a little bit of fat then to make that burger. Michelle, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Our number, 513-419-7100. Cheryl's calling from Dayton. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
What's your question?
I need to replace my grill. My basic gas grill. I don't use it that much. I just want to know, what level of BTU do I need to be able to make a good steak or, you know, good hamburger or something on the grill?
What do you all recommend? BTUs, anybody?
When I look for a gas grill, I buy the biggest amount of BTUs that I can find. And by putting the gas, changing to a natural gas from propane, you add BTUs to your burners as well. But it just depends on really somewhat price range. The more BTUs, the higher the price is going to be.
So is there a too low? I mean, do you have to have a certain level in order to make a good, it just takes longer, or how does that work?
And you can use a lower BTU grill, and you can, once you get accustomed to it, I think you can cook on just about any grill. And some are going to have 3 burners, 4 burners, 5 burners. That's going to make a difference too in your total number of BTUs.
Does that help, Cheryl?
Just the grill space. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 513-419-7100. Marianne's calling from Fairfield. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. My question is regarding, there's been some discussion about carcinogenic and grilled meats. Is there less of a concern with that if you're using gas or propane? Is the problem coming from the use of lighter fluid and or charcoal, the lumps of charcoal, or what is the least toxic, I guess?
I must say we don't have doctors in the room, so I think those tend to be maybe a more medical question. I'm not sure. Do you have any insight?
I don't have any statistical insights or any scientific insight, but for me, grilled meat in any way, shape, or form is worth the risk.
Sorry.
Thank you for guarding us and by pointing out that we're not doctors, because I'm in agreement that I'd like – The eating, don't worry about the cancer.
Marianne, maybe what we do is the next time we do a show on cancer issues, which we have, we can talk to some of the doctors about that for you, and we'll bring that up.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
And there was one part of the question that makes me want to jump in with my best advice for somebody who is grilling, whether it's burgers or dealing with charcoal, is avoid lighter fluid, because you're going to get that taste on the food. And there are other ways to get the coals going. One is a device called a chimney. It's a round metal unit that has a kind of a conical grill in it. You stuff newspapers in the bottom and your first set of coals in the top and light it from there. It's rather quick. It's probably as quick as using lighter fluid. Another is to use an electrical unit that's specifically for lighting charcoal.
Jim's calling from Forest Park. Hi, Jim. What's your question?
Hi.
Yes, what's your question?
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I would like to smoke some fish. I bought a smoker last year. I did turkey legs, I did country ribs, and a pork loin. But I'd like to smoke some fish, like a pound and a half trout that I see at Costco. Don't know about temperatures, don't know about seasoning. And do I lay it on the grill? Do I form a rack and kind of roast it in a rack pan? Don't know how to attempt it.
How do we cook fish?
I'd like to do a fish soup, which requires smoked fish.
What are you, smoking on a grill or on a smoker?
It's actually a smoker. It's a square box smoker, propane fired. It's 24, about 18 inches square by about 24 inches high. It has 3 shelves in it, a smoker pan at the bottom, and a diffuser where you can put your liquid and or your smoked things.
And can you control the temperature?
By the thermostat to the propane thing, I can probably get it to as low as 175. That's up to 300.
I smoke fish at about 225 degrees, and it's going to depend how thick it is. Trout, I smoke a lot of salmon.
I know that.
Yeah, the trout's going to take less time.
Right.
If you can control the temperature, once you've figured it out, it'll be the same every time. So you might have to do a little trial and error to get it the way you like it. I would start at probably maybe 20 minutes.
All right. Now, question for you. If I do a trout, the ones I'm speaking of come 4-door package, pound and a quarter each, pound and a half, heads on, skin on. They've just been
just cut.
Gutted. Would I smoke the thing whole, cut off the head? Should I scale it?
Yes, I would scale it. And if you're not going to use, you can cut it in half so that the skin is all on one side and smoke it like that, you can pull it right from the, you can pull the skin right off when you take it off the smoker and it's cooked, if you're not going to use the skin in your soup.
Jim, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100, and Sue Ellen is calling us now from Cincinnati. Hi, Sue Ellen.
Hi.
What's your question?
My son is a great griller, and he also knows how to use a smoker very well. He's considering something called a porcelain grill. And I wonder if you can give any feedback about that, what that adds to the process, or what you might use, how you might use that differently.
The porcelain grill, its main advantage is the way it holds heat. You can get the fire going and basically just let the thing go. Whereas the sort of grill that the smoker that I use is a metal unit and can lose its heat more quickly than the porcelain grill. And the other is if he grills during the winter or something like that, the insulation on those things is pretty impressive.
So that's a good thing to do when it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
All right, does that answer your question, Sue Ellen?
Yes. Would you mainly use it for smoking, or you could use it either way, for grilling or smoking?
I've never seen anybody grill it over direct heat. I imagine you can do that. My experience, the folks that I've dealt with use it for smoking.
Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Our number is 513-419-7100. Let us know what your favorite food to grill is. We have a couple of comments in from Carl, who says portobello mushrooms, asparagus, and salmon for this weekend. James says anything he can grill, he does. He did fried potatoes in a tin pan this weekend. What do you think about that, cooking in a tin pan on the grill? Is that a good idea?
You might get more flavor by putting it right on the grill, because the tin pan is just going to insulate the heat.
Unless it's something that's going to fall through the grill.
So go ahead and just use it right on the grates. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing to do.
There are units you can buy. I have a shrimp pan where you can – it's got a number of holes in it, but nothing's going to slip through. So using smaller vegetables and things like that can be very nicely done in such a unit.
What are your favorite things to cook on the grill? If you just had to pick one thing, and you said steak for you, is that right, Jeff, or is there something else?
I love steak, but that's not necessarily my favorite thing to grill. We mentioned sausage earlier. Fish just came up in conversation. I've been using a lot of steelhead trout, grilling that, which grills real nicely, takes on a lot of – I usually use an Asian marinade, soy sauce, white wine, something along those lines if I want to put ginger or garlic in, it's fine. But it's quick. It's very affordable. It holds up nicely on the grill. I do a lot of vegetables as well. Here again, for a group of people, you can grill vegetables ahead of time, serve them at room temperature. And I wanted to mention, Bill just mentioned the holder that he has for doing shrimp. Some folks gave me what was referred to as a vegetable grill thing that you can set on the grill, and which I looked at with great suspicion when they gave it to me. But I have to tell you, it does a great job holding the vegetables on the grill.
What's it look like?
It looks like a cast iron thing, although I don't think that's what it necessarily is. And as he said, it's a piece of metal with small holes in it, goes right on the grill. I spray it with a little pan, put the stuff on, and it works well for shrimp or anything like that.
Lou, what about you? What's your favorite?
It sort of runs in spurts, I guess. Lately, I have been doing lots of things on cedar planks. Just really getting ready for some classes. And one of my favorite things for the summer is really to use my grill more like a burner and do a big shrimp boil, but do it on the grill so everything is outdoors. No mess in the house and no heat.
So another reason then to cook outside is not even only for the flavor, but to keep that heat out of the house.
In the summer, for sure.
So you do, you say you do a shrimp boil. How do you do that?
In a great big pan, like 30 quarts, 30 to 40 quart pan, with water and seasonings, and then you layer your ingredients in by the how long they cook, potatoes and sausage and mushrooms, corn on the cob, shrimp, and you cook it all in one pan and drain it and dump it right into the middle of the table for everybody to eat. It's a lot. It's a great way to entertain.
In a bowl or on a big piece of craft paper? What do you use?
Big piece of paper. You put paper towel or newspaper on your table and cover it with some brown craft paper and dump it on there and roll it all up when you're done. No utensils, no plates.
I like that easy cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, what about you? Your favorite thing?
I do baby back ribs. I do Boston butts, picnic, which together form the shoulder. I'd like to do a shoulder entirely whole, but you can't buy them locally. You have to buy them in pieces. And I like chicken on the smoker as well. And the previous comment mentioned something that has my mouth watering, and that's portobellos on the grill.
How do you cook them?
I do it very simply. I marinate them in white cooking wine and then toss them right on the grill.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about grilling today. You can call us with your questions at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking about grilling today. Joining me are director of the cooking school at Jungle Jim's International Market, Lee Barnhart Oaks, chef instructor at the Midwest Culinary Institute at Cincinnati State, Jeff Sheldon, and owner of Counter Moon Editorial and author of The Grill of Victory, Bill Broha. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email us talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook and Twitter. So I asked you all what your favorite food on the grill was. I don't usually do the grilling at our house. My husband does most of it. I do it once in a while. But my favorite thing is pineapple. With you mix honey and cinnamon together and put that on the pineapple, and I love it. But the question becomes, my husband says it creates this goo on the grill. Is there a way to do fruits on the grill with things like honey and still keep a clean grill?
Well, I might recommend buying one of those trays that we mentioned earlier and just keeping it for doing fruit on the grill. That's why they aren't expensive, and that way you don't have to worry about the goo.
What do you do when you cook fruit on the grill? Do you like to do that? Does anybody else have any good recipes for fruit on the grill?
I love to cook fruit on the grill for salsas, desserts, things like that. And if it does make a mess, I just burn it off or wad up a piece of foil and scrub it off with that. That helps.
Now, do you use anything on the fruit, or do you just, like I said, I use the honey and cinnamon mix, but do you use anything on it, or do you just put them on there plain raw?
I usually put some vegetable oil on before I grill it to help from the so it doesn't stick.
If you want to try take on your pineapple, rather than the honey, dip it in coconut milk and then cinnamon sugar.
Oh, that sounds good. Good one. Any other fruit ideas for the grill? Any other fruits
peaches
that are really
great.
Good? Peaches?
Any stone fruit is just wonderful, and you can use it as a side for grilled meat or as a salsa or as a dessert. Grill some pound cake and use some grilled fruit. It's nice.
Now, I'm assuming that something like trying to grill a berry would be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to stick with the sturdier fruits when you do that. Kathy's calling from, she's on 71 in Kenwood. Hi, Kathy. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, a group of women and I were together the other night, and our husbands are not grillers. We are married to a group of men who do not like to grill, and we were looking for a class in order to learn ourselves. So that's my question. Does anybody have classes?
We do grilling classes very frequently.
Jungle Jim's.
At Jungle Jim's. Last week we did grilling cedar plank burgers. Next week we're doing, I think it's cedar plank salmon. And we also have a grilling class coming up where they're doing Greek meatball stuffed grape leaves and grilling those on the grill. So we do lots of them.
We do some grilling courses in what we refer to as our creations courses.
And this is the Midwest Culinary.
This is Midwest Culinary. If you go to midwestculinary.com, they change month to month. But every 2 or 3 months, there will be a new listing, and there will probably be a grilling class of some sort in there.
Does that help you out, Kathy?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Our phone number, 513-419-7100. Joaquin is calling from Redding. Hi, Joaquin.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Wish I could grill more, but I broke mine.
Uh-oh. So what's your question?
I had a question about something my dad taught me how to do. It's called a sandwich burger. Like, I take the two patties of meat, and then I'll put something in the middle of it. But I was just wondering what a decent technique for that would be, because I always find myself putting too much stuff, too little. I don't make the patty thin enough, thick enough. Just what would the best way to do that would be?
Anybody make those?
There's a number of recipes out there for, I think, what you would call a stuffed burger. I really haven't got any advice. It might be just better to cook the burgers and put the other stuff on top of them when you pull them off. May not be as fun, but it's a way of approaching it.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be really hard to get that center part done the way you want it without either overcooking or the outside or undercooking the inside.
Thanks for your call, Joaquin. I hope that helps a little. 513-419-7100 is our phone number. We talked about fruits. We haven't mentioned vegetables. What's a good way to cook vegetables on the grill, and what are the best vegetables that stand up to the heat of the grill?
I love all vegetables on the grill. Putting them on in the order that you think they're going to cook so that they're all done about the same time. It also just makes a great room temperature presentation to grill a huge platter of all different veggies.
Well, how do you do it? Do you do it straight on the grill? Do you get one of those pans like you were talking about, Jeff? How do you do it?
Well, that pan is straight on the grill, really. I tend to do an easy marinade, usually whatever Italian dressing I happen to have, not too much because the oil will get a lot of flame going. My particular favorites are peppers, eggplant, both your yellow squash and zucchini, the portobello that was mentioned, the asparagus is nice. Sometimes I'll even do cauliflower. Some hold up better than others, I think. But said at the end, on a platter, maybe a little extra virgin olive oil, a little sprinkle of salt or pepper, some fresh basil. Said it's a great presentation and it's so easy to do ahead of time.
What about ahead of time? How do you just serve them cooler then?
Room temperature.
Room temperature.
Sure.
What about carrots? You didn't mention carrots. Did you have carrots on the grill? Or
I haven't. Not that you couldn't do them.
Mm-hmm.
We have done grilled carrots at the cooking school. We do have instructors who do those.
It just seems like that's a vegetable that's always available easily. So.
Well, sure. I might add, too, what you have left over is real easy to use, and putting it into a cold pasta salad or tossing it in a hot pasta the next day. So those grilled vegetables, you can use them making salsas out of them or a number of
– So make extra on purpose.
Sure.
Sure.
What,
an omelet.
What about corn on the cob? Do you do corn on the cob on the grill?
Yes.
In the husk or not?
I take mine out.
I'll vary. Sometimes I'll do it in the husk and directly on the grate. Sometimes I'll do some smoking, in which case I will take it out of the husk so that it can accept the smoke.
Now, you have to soak it if it's in the husk. Is that right, first, if you're going to do that so the husk doesn't burn? It doesn't matter.
You don't have to.
Don't have to. Won't cause a fire?
No.
All right, that's good. Cullen's calling from Florence. Hi, Cullen. What's your question?
Hi, yes. I bought a rotisserie attachment for my grill, my charcoal grill, the other day on a whim, and I've used it once, but I'm looking for suggestions on how to use it better and what to use it for.
Ideas? Anybody use a rotisserie?
Not on a grill.
I have. Chickens work really well. You just have to be almost, you can do almost anything on a rotisserie, but you have to be sure that, for instance, on a chicken, that you use the hooks that come with it to get the food on there evenly and well secured so that while it's turning around, it doesn't start to flop or fall off of the rotisserie. But really, you can do pork, a big pork loin like that. Some people do beef tenderloin. To me, that's taking too big of a chance with a more expensive piece of meat.
I think duck works really well on a rotisserie, too. Just make sure you're not on direct heat or you will have to catch that on fire, I'm sure.
How long does it take to cook a chicken, for example, a 5-pound chicken on a rotisserie? Is that going to take longer than if you were grilling it? Or
it's going to depend how hot your grill is. And, you know, you probably know they say, you know, it's done when it's done. And there's some things that you just have to be patient with and check and see when they're done. Because if you decide it's going to take an hour, you don't just want to pull it off and eat it. It has to be.
Do you use a thermometer to check your meat from the grill? How do you know when it's done?
I use an instant read thermometer. Mm-hmm. Of course, the more you grill, the better you get at it. But if there's any question or something like chicken, you want to check with a thermometer. They're very inexpensive, and you can use it indoors, outdoors, all year round.
I end up using the instant read a lot more indoors than I do outdoors, to tell you the truth. I test most of it by touch if I'm just grilling.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bill?
Generally, visual checking, cutting the meat open, seeing, are the juices running properly, as well as an internal thermometer, the nice pointy thing you stick into. And then on larger cuts of meats, especially with a chicken or a turkey, smoked turkey is marvelous, a Thanksgiving tradition. You want to check various parts of the meat. Don't just check one area because you might be missing something else.
Colin, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Steve's calling from Spring Grove. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Just in my barbecue, getting ready to go.
All right. What's your question?
I just wanted to cook pizzas on Weber's.
All right. Advice for cooking pizza on the grill.
Love to cook pizza on the grill. If you haven't done it before, you want to get a nice, sturdy pizza crust recipe and make your pizza smaller rather than larger, thin as you can either roll or work the dough, and put that dough right over a medium-high grill. You don't want it to be super hot, and it'll take about a minute or two on the first side. Don't worry if it bubbles up a little bit. Then pull it off, and you want to dress the pizza on the side that you just grilled and then put it back on that. And you want to lightly dress it with some sauce and whatever veggies or meats you're going to use, and then put that uncooked side back down on the grill, and you can close the grill for a minute or two, and it should be perfect.
And do you put the cheese on at the same time, or do you put the cheese on last?
You put the cheese on before it goes on.
Before it goes on. All right. I hope that helps, Steve.
I never tried that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 513-419-7100 is our number. You also can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. A couple of questions from email. Kathy wants to know how to successfully cook kebabs, veggies, and meat, she say, heat differently. So when you're making a kebab, how do you do that?
Separate skewers.
So you don't put
chicken on one, vegetables on the other. It's a pet peeve of mine when I get a kebab served and the onions are raw, the meat's overdone, the cherry tomatoes are falling off. Separate it by cooking time.
So then people, you're not going to serve them on a kebab. You're just going to take all the items off, put them in a bowl, and let people serve themselves.
And ideally, proper service. You shouldn't be serving a skewer on a plate anyways. Then the diner has to fight with it, pulling it off. So
Good point. Anybody do anything else with kebabs? Any other kebab advice?
Use a flat skewer.
A flat? Oh, because they don't roll that way.
That way the meat doesn't roll around.
I never thought about that one. Learning something new every minute here today. That's great. Again, our number, 513-419-7100. Scott wants to know, steak directly over the flame or to the side?
Direct.
Okay.
And
Alex emailed how to cook shrimp successfully. Somebody talked about a shrimp pan, but is there anything in particular you need to know about shrimp? How long does it take to cook it on the grill?
Almost no time. That's the main thing. Just
really quick, because
you're talking like a minute on each side, or is that even too long?
Depends on how hot your grill is. But and another way, if you don't have the shrimp pans that they were talking about, is you can skewer shrimp and put a brick on either side of the grill and lay the shrimp up the ends of the skewers on the bricks. It'll keep it up off the heat, and you won't burn it quite as quickly.
So it cooks well. You're not getting grill marks on it that way, though. Doesn't matter.
No, you won't get too many marks.
Okay. Danny's calling from the east side. Hi, Danny. What's your question?
I'm a transplant from South Texas, and I was wondering if there's any Mexican meat markets or somewhere I can find flank or skirt steaks, if we're allowed of that down there in Texas.
We carry those at Jungle Jim's.
So either the Jungle Jim's that's in Fairfield or in Eastgate.
Yes.
Anybody else know of anywhere else in town that would have that? There probably are some Mexican food specialty shops, I would assume. I'm not familiar.
I don't know if they carry fresh product necessarily. Some are grocery stores without fresh meat or whatever, but some butcher shops should be able to get it for you. I'd check Findlay Market for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Hope that helps, Danny. Good luck. Thanks for your call. 513-419-7100 is our number. Marla is calling from Cincinnati. Hi, Marla.
Hi.
What's your question?
I was wondering whether anyone has used single-stan wok burners. I think they run on propane, and if they know whether it's possible to get them as hot as Chinese restaurants get their woks.
Anybody know anything about those?
Well, it sounds what you're talking about is similar to a turkey fryer as far as a big burner off of a propane tank that you would put a wok on. Certainly you could get your wok hotter with that than you can on your household stove, and that's always a problem trying to do a stir fry. I don't know if you can get up to the what I refer to as disfiguring heat of a commercial wok setup, but it certainly would be give you more than your household stove would.
Thanks, Marla. We appreciate your call. Andrew's calling from Ross. Hi, Andrew. What's your question?
Hi. I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
I'll start with a comment. I like a recipe. We call them hobo potatoes or hillbilly potatoes. And you take foil, slice your potatoes, dice your onions, mince some garlic, throw it all in there, add a little oil, salt and pepper, wrap it up real tight on both sides and throw it on the grill. And usually over medium heat while you're cooking your burgers or your steaks, and it makes a great side.
Sounds good. Anybody try that or do that? Or
well, we do vegetable pouches, potato pouches, or another way of putting it. Or if the caller wants to impress his friends, he can call it en papillote the next time they're over and give it the French terminology.
All right. You said you had one more thing, Andrew, if you're real quick.
Yeah, I had a question. Do you think aged steaks are worth the extra money?
Aged steaks, are they worth the extra money?
Yes.
Yes.
I have to tell you, I bought one at Jungle Jim's a while ago. It was worth every penny that I paid for it. I think what you look at, too, when you're looking at the money, if you get a nice-sized strip steak, it should be enough for two reasonable adults. Look at it that way. What's it cost? What would it cost you to go out and get a steak that good? It was a real piece
of
meat.
What's the difference? What's an aged steak? I mean, it just – you keep it around. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with it.
Yes, they're hung and dry aged out of the package. You know, when you buy it and it's cryovac, that's wet mm-hmm. in there.
Okay.
They're dried and some of the moisture evaporates and it concentrates the flavor.
But does the meat dry then when you eat it?
No,
no.
The drying actually happens on the outside of the primal cut of meat, and people have described it as the difference from a good wine to a superior wine or something like that. It's just a big, meaty flavor.
All right. Andrew, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. We're in time for a few more here. John from Monroe. Hi, John. Quickly, what's your question?
Yeah, I used to get a product called Tri-Tip. It was a steak out in California, and I can only find it a couple places here in Cincinnati. I didn't know if they just don't sell it or they sell it under a different name. Or
anybody know about that?
Tri-tip is delicious, and you can find it in Cincinnati. It was very, very popular on the West Coast before it's gained popularity other places. You can buy them here in Cincinnati, Jungle Jim's, Costco carries them. Once in a while, Kroger has them.
Thanks for your call, John. Good luck finding them. I hope you can. Chad's calling from Lebanon. Hi, Chad, real quick.
Hi, what I do with, I take a black cast iron skillet and put it in the grill and heat it up as I'm heating up the grill to about 500 degrees, put some tilapia with butter and blackened mix and throw them on the grill.
All right, cast iron good on the grill?
Sounds like a great idea. It won't fall through the grill.
Smell, or you don't have all the smoke from the blackened in your house.
It's a great way to blacken.
Mm-hmm. Great idea. Thanks, Chad. We appreciate it. And we're going to go really quick to Jim in Springboro. Jim, if you can be really quick, what's your question?
Just a recommendation on salmon. Should we use a plank, tinfoil, or just skin side down?
That's the best way.
Any of those work. I don't like foil. Skin side down, you can do that. Cedar plank, you just want to soak it first for at least 2 hours.
Jim, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. And thank you all for being here. You all made me hungry. I'm going to go home and grill, I think. We've been talking today about grilling. My guests have been director of the cooking school at Jungle Jim's International Market, Lee Barnard Oaks, chef instructor at the Midwest Culinary Institute at Cincinnati State, Jeff Sheldon, and owner of Countermoon Editorial and the author of Grill of Victory, Bill Broha. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds and Jim Nolan. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.